On behalf of the family, I welcome all the rest of you. We're here today to remember Bill Humphrey, husband and father, brother, friend, faithful servant here at Fellowship Bible Church. From Blackwell, Oklahoma, and as a young man, placed his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Spent some time in Alaska, then 2 years at Prairie Bible Institute in Alberta, Canada. Served a couple of years as an MP in the Army at Fort Leavenworth in Kansas. I guess he joined to see the world and he saw Fort Leavenworth, but I never figured out whether his assignment up there was to secure the prisoners or to torment Sergeant Garcia as his, who was his chief officer. He had some stories about the late night shift with Sergeant Garcia. Had a lot of jobs. He ended up, his last major job was in Noel, Missouri, as manager of the protein plant. And also in Noel, Missouri, as the organizer of the church canoe trips. Moved back to Springdale and lived here back in their home for a number of years. And 3 days ago passed from death or from this life to eternal life. Survived by Janet, children Scott, and Julie and her husband Jack, Joanna, Mike and wife Emily, 4 sisters, Ginger, Norma, Janice and Mary, a lot of other relatives, extended family and friends. We thank you for coming. It's just an expression of Bill's effect on people and the extent of his extended family that you're here. And we trust that today will be a blessing to you. I've asked two of the men who knew him well to come and bring some remembrances, whatever they want to say. One from a long time ago, Jim Parks, and then one from rather recently, Shane Rhodes. And so we're going to have them come and just talk to us a little bit. Jim.
Well, how do you describe Bill Humphrey? My wife Leslie and I were talking about that last week, and she came up with a pretty good word. She called him irrepressible. Now, I thought I knew what that word was, but I wanted to make sure, so I looked it up in the dictionary, and I found a couple of meanings that I thought fit very well. One was uncontrollable. And I mean that in a good way. And the other was unquenchable, because nobody quenched Bill's spirit. We first met Bill and Janet, and in February of 1985, here at Fellowship Bible Church. We just moved up from Mississippi, and Bill always wanted to make people feel at home, so he came up and introduced himself to us and asked us if we'd like to go out to lunch that afternoon after church. So he took us to Hobo Joe's. So Bill, Janet, Scott, Julie, Joanna, Michael, Leslie and I, my four, John, Molly, Colleen, and Shannon, all descended on Hobo Joe's. They had no idea what was about to hit them. Well, we got seated around a big table and put our order in, and we're doing a lot of get acquainted chit chat. And Bill looked over at me and he said, "Jim, do you know how to sell a duck to a deaf man?" I should have known better, but I said, "No, how?" He cupped his hands around his mouth, and at the top of his lungs, he shouted, "Do you want to buy a duck?" Then he broke out in that uproarious laughter of his, and every head in the restaurant snapped around and looked. The manager came scurrying over, trying to find out what was wrong. I'm trying to find a table to hide under. None of it bothered Bill, though. He thought it was great fun. I don't remember much else about that encounter. I think I was in shock. Our families became close. Our kids became best friends. And we would spend many Saturdays and Sunday afternoons up at their house in Noel. And after the church started having evening services, Bill and Janet and the family would come down to our house, and then they'd spend Sunday afternoon with us, so they didn't have to drive all the way back to Noel. Bill would invariably take a nap, and we'd have golf on TV or football or something, and he'd wake up, and I could see him looking at me out of the corner of his eye, and I knew it was coming. He'd jump me, and we'd go wrestling round all over the floor. Bill was a bigger man than back then, and it took all I had just to pin him and make him stop. But I think he just wanted to get his blood flowing again after his nap, and I was his victim. Some of the last words that he spoke to me were Thursday night, the first night in hospice. I was getting ready to leave, and he was laying in bed with his eyes closed. And I went over to him and grabbed his hand. He looked up at me and said, well, hello, Jimmy. And I said, Bill, when you get ready to wrestle again, you let me know. I think I can take you. He said, you need to get out of here before I hurt you. And as I left, I could see him just faintly smiling. And like I said, the last words he spoke to me. But I'm going to tell you something about Bill I bet most of you don't know. He had the privilege of being one of the first persons to ever drive down I-540 between Springdale and Bella Vista. Bill would get in his car, come to church with the family, and he'd go around the road close sign. And this was before it opened. And he would speed down the highway. And when I say speed, I'm literally mean it. Because there's nobody else on the highway, so, you know, there was no use going slow, right, Janet? My daughter would spend the weekend every once in a while with him and scare her to death. That he'd hit the end of that pavement, hit the dirt part of it that's not finished, and bounce across it a couple of times, hit the pavement, and just keep on going. However, a highway patrolman without a sense of humor put an end to Bill's put an end to Bill's private use of the highway. So he had to come to church like the rest of us, you know, using regular highways. Well, the Humphreys introduced us to Horn Creek and Horn Creek campgrounds in Colorado. And so we began to spend a lot of vacations together. Bill and Leslie, my wife, would have, they had a lot of adventures riding their bicycles up down these mountain roads. But almost always, one of them would come back with a road rash or a skint knee or even broken bones. There was one incident where Leslie and Bill went up in the wet mountains and they were going to ride down. They would take turns. One of them would ride the bicycle and the other one would drive. And, you know, they'd swap out. Well, there came up one of those famous afternoon Colorado thunderstorms. So they scrambled and got their bikes loaded up, jumped in the car, and, you know, got ready to come back into town. And Bill turned his windshield wipers on. Nothing. He tried to roll his electric windows up. Nothing. Turned his headlights on. Nothing. But, you know, that didn't slow Bill down. He just reached to the back seat and he grabbed a garbage bag and he threw it at Leslie and he said, here, put this on to keep the water off of you. Then he stuck his head out the window and started driving to town. You know, that had to be a sight. You had a woman sitting in the passenger seat with a garbage bag over her head. You had a guy hanging out the window and wearing that floppy dooney hat that he wore all the time with rain hitting him all in the face, running 50 miles an hour down the mountain road. He pulled his head back in the window, and he had water streaming down his face, and his glasses were all covered with rain. He looked over at Leslie and said, "Leslie, does this make you nervous?" Well, that was probably one of the only few times in Leslie's life she's ever been speechless. But they drove on to town, and Bill got it working somehow. You know, Bill would always buy a Volvo, to ride in, and he'd always buy another one for parts because there was always something that needed fixing. But that was Bill. You know, he was uncontrollable. He was unquenchable. Bill loved life, and he lived life fully. Bill loved the Lord, and his life reflected that love, and he had a true servant's heart. There are many of you that out here that have been beneficiaries of his good deeds and his kind acts. He would mow people's yards. Every once in a while, he'd even mow the wrong yard. He would cut firewood for people. He would trim trees. He'd fix cars. He'd do any other numerous chores that needed doing. You know, if you needed something done, there was Bill. He'd get it done for you. Back when the ice storm hit us and everyone was out of power, we'd been out of power for a couple of days. And Bill found out. And, you know, down the driveway, he and Shane and Brent came with a big diesel generator in the back of the truck. We unloaded it. Bill hooked it up to the house. That Sunday evening, we watched the Super Bowl with a roar of a diesel generator out in the garage. My granddaughter, Anna, when she was told of Bill's death, she said, "Bill's eating at the Lord's table now, and he's probably eating off other people's plates. And he's calling all the girls boys." He was one of a kind. Whether he was teasing the young people or taking food off of Jerry's plate at the fellowship dinner, he was just Bill. Bill was a friend. Bill was a brother. Bill was loved. And we'll miss him.
Before Shane comes, we want to sing a song that Bill picked out from our hymn book. We'll have Chris come and lead us. This is one of Bill's favorite hymns. He picked it often on Sunday night as we would sing. Chris.
Let me go ahead and stand. Take your hymnals. Turn to 549. Face to Face, 549. My Savior, face to face, what will it be? When with rapture I behold Him, Jesus Christ, who died for me, face to face I shall behold Him, far beyond the starry sky. Faith me now.
You know, Bill Humphrey and I did a lot of things together, but I don't think I ever wrestled him. I just kind of picture that. But when I met Bill Humphrey, never in my wildest of dreams would I have ever thought that he would become such a cherished friend of mine. You would have thought that I would have recognized it from the very beginning, but I didn't. He was positive. He was supportive. He was self-sacrificing. And he just made my dull life just a little bit brighter. You know? And who would have known that Bill Humphrey and I would have become such good friends? I met Bill about 10 years ago, and he was drinking coffee in the Sunset Grill, something he loved to do. And he immediately introduced himself and began asking me questions. He really showed interest in me, and he made me feel important. From then on, I saw Bill Humphrey often, but I never really got to know him until my wife and I started coming and serving here at Fellowship Bible Church, a church that Bill loved with all his heart. Funny how he always remembered your name. Unbelievable. But Bill and I, we immediately hit it off because as much as I loved to laugh, Bill loved to laugh even more. I would give Bill these shirts of mine. My company would put out these things with their logo, and it would have my name on them. And I always used to kid Bill and say, Bill, I'm kind of like that old dog that marks their territories. I mark my boys with those shirts. And but we just laughed and laughed and laughed, and we had such the greatest times in the world. But Bill had this warm and exciting smile. And that smile was infectious. When he smiled, you smiled. He might have been louder than most, but I like that, especially when he did try to do the duck call. But had you ever been in a restaurant with him when Bill sang happy birthday to you? Very, very embarrassing. He loved his family and he loved his friends. Bill was always complimentary of his friends and spoke very highly of his family. And if someone ever hurt Bill's feelings, he always illustrated grace by forgiving them almost immediately and completely. He had an amazing way of always putting others first. And I liked that the most about him. And that was a Christian virtue, a quality that was reserved for those who truly love God. Some people would serve just to get ahead or get something in return. But not Bill. Bill served because Bill loved. And Bill served with all he had. And he gave everything that he had. Bill was my dearest and truest friend. He was always there when I needed him. I knew that he would do anything for me within his power. And I would do anything for him. And after knowing Bill Humphrey for these past 7 years, I can easily say that he would do anything for any one of you in this room today. Broken bones, smashed fingers, or when he dented his head, it never stopped Bill from serving others. Why? It was because of who Bill was and is, and at this very moment, a man who lives in the presence of God. He is a man that cannot be replaced. Things are going to be very difficult without him. People like Bill only come along once in a lifetime. Imagine if we could be just a little bit more like him. Imagine how our churches would be. People would feel more important and more loved. Bill Humphrey was a very, very good man. In closing today, I would like to say thank you to Bill's family and especially to the Lord. And thank you for allowing me the blessed privilege of knowing and loving somebody like Bill Humphrey. It has truly been an honor for me and a true blessing. And I will miss him more than words will ever say. Thank you.
We stand once more. Turn to 198. We're going to sing just the first and last verse of Wonderful Grace of Jesus. It's hymn number 198.
Wonderful grace of Jesus, greater than all my sin. How shall my tongue describe it? Where shall its praise begin? Taking away my burden, setting my spirit free, for the wonderful grace of Jesus reaches. The matchless grace of Jesus, deeper than the mighty rolling sea, higher than a mountain, sparkling like a fountain, all sufficient grace for even me, broader than the scope of my transgressions, greater far than all my sin and shame. Oh, magnify the precious name of Jesus, praise His name. Wonderful grace of Jesus, reaching the most defiled, by its transforming power, making Him God's dear child, purchasing peace and heaven for all eternity, for the wonderful grace of Jesus reaches me. Wonderful the matchless grace of Jesus, deeper than the mighty rolling sea, higher than a mountain, sparkling like a fountain, all-sufficient grace for even me. Broader than the scope of my transgressions, greater far than all my sin and shame. Oh, magnify the precious name of Jesus, praise.
One of the elders of our congregation here gave me this a short tribute to Bill. I thought it'd be appropriate to begin some remarks about Bill and some other things. A pillar of our church, of the church, has left us. Bill Humphrey is now with our Lord. Will he be missed? What shall we say? All the saints gave a resounding Amen. There will be Bill stories for years to come, and his legacy will continue and grow until the Lord returns. Now Bill, so full of life, is ever more alive than ever before, seeing the Lord face to face. As an older and wiser brother has said, he's not gone. He's just not where he used to be. Thank you, Lord. And that's why we're here, isn't it? why we sing the songs that Bill chose, why we share remembrances of him. He is just not where he used to be. And we mourn his absence because he was so much a part of our lives. I met him 26 and a half years ago, just shortly after Jim and Leslie met him, here at the Fellowship Bible Church. It was a Valentine's Day weekend, 1986, and we were here for the purpose of candidating as a possible pastor. And they had a dinner, couples dinner, that Saturday night. And Bill and Janet sat right across from us. We didn't know anybody. We just knew there. They would come in that afternoon. And Bill and Janet sat right across from us, and Jim and Leslie sat right next to us. And that sort of set the tone for the evening, because those two got going, and Bernie and I were just, you know, just, oh, what is going on here? Part of the evening, they had a game, you know, where the husband and wife share, you know, try to find out how much they know, really know about each other. And it was okay. But Bill and Janet were one of the couples that they chose, and Bill was asked, what color dress did your mother-in-law wear at the wedding? And without a moment's hesitation, Bill just said, black. And Janet gave him that Janet look, and you know. And I just kind of whispered to Bernie. I said, "I think we're going to get along with this guy." And we did. 26 and a half years. Just what a blessing. And we had times out doing things, and times in the home. And our home, Knoll and Springdale. And we had our share of Bill sleeping on the floor. If the sofa was crowded, he'd just go sleep on the floor while we watched football. He was, you know, really unpredictable. They were building a new plant up at Knoll. Bill was the manager of the protein processing place up there, and they were building a new plant. And Bill passed me off as his technical advisor, and I sat in all the meetings with all these engineers. I think there was a group over from Sweden or Norway, and trying to sell equipment to Bill, and all these blueprints and stuff. And every now and then Bill would look over at me, and I'm just sitting in the corner, kind of, you know, and he'd say, "What do you think, John?" And I would say, "Looks okay to me, Bill." Look, I mean, this is millions of dollars that he's spending, and it looks okay. But anyway, after the meeting, one of these guys came over and kind of whispered in Bill's ear, "Who is that guy?" And Bill said, "Oh, he's my technical advisor." And you know, he just, you know, that's just the way Bill was. It felt good at the time, and he did it then. And I have all the stories just like y'all do. We all have these experiences that say, could that really have happened? Did he really do that? Was he like that? I had heard about the selling the duck story, and I told Bill, don't ever do that to me. And anyway, never mind. But Even golf is going to be different, because now when we play, we don't have anybody to talk and yell at us while we're trying to hit the ball. He's just not where he used to be, is he? He's just not where he used to be. And that's why we're here. And that's why we share these stories, and you'll be talking, and there will be these "do you remember when" instances for a long time, and we try to gain some measure of comfort, some easing of the pain, but it's here, and that's why we're here. See, And so for most of you, I'm glad you're here, and I trust your presence will be some measure of comfort to Janet and the family, knowing as they see how Bill's life spread out to so many other people, not just the family. There's a verse in Hebrews that was suggested as sort of a verse that described Bill's life, taking it just a little bit out of context, but the words really do apply to Bill. For God is not unjust so as to forget your work and the love which you have shown toward his name in having ministered and still ministering to the saints. And as Shane said, that was Bill. Love for the name of the Lord and ministering to his saints. We remember him. And this is a memorial service as we remember Bill. But as I was thinking about a memorial service for Bill, occasioned by his death, a thought came to me that there's something else that we really need to remember here. And 3,000 years ago, a wise man wrote, "It is better to go to a house of mourning than to a house of feasting, because that is the end of every man, and the living take it to heart." And we need to remember, as much as we are trying to recall the encouraging and the even enjoyable parts of Bill's life, that the real reason we are here is not because of Bill's life, but because of death. That's what brought us together today, death. And death does come to all, and the living need to take it to heart. Sometimes it comes without warning, and some of you know my experience with that. 3 minutes from life to death. No warning at all. And sometimes, as in the case of Bill, we have indications of it, and maybe something's happening in it, you know, days and weeks and maybe even looking back to months. But however it comes, it does come. And even in our seeking comfort as we remember Bill's life, we need to remember that. See? Scripture is quite clear on that, and we're not just inventing this, and it's not just a thought, it's Scripture. In Romans chapter 5, verse 12, it reminds us that when sin entered into the world, sin brought death, and then it says, and death spread to all men, everyone, from that moment on, from Adam and Eve on, death spread to all men, spread to me. Spread to you. And when death comes, and it does come, it comes even as we feel today. It comes as with a sting. It comes to destroy. It comes to kill the things that we love. And it ends a life as we knew it. It leaves a hole in lives, and we'll come to know that as the days go on. It destroys. It kills. It comes as a conquering enemy because ultimately there's nothing we can do about it. It just takes over. It just conquers. It just kills. And we feel that in some sense today. And it seems maybe in some of our minds, maybe in some of your minds, that at least for today, the victor here is death, because Bill is gone and death has won. And even our remembrances, once we share them all, and over the weeks, maybe months it'll take, but sooner or later they will start to fade. And what are we left with? Where's the comfort, even in something that fades? after this service, we will part, and probably this unique gathering will never be together again. And where's the comfort, see? If it's here, if it's in remembrance of his life, is there comfort that lasts? Or does that fade as well? Because all we look at is that death has won, another life is gone, and is that all we look forward to? Because death will come to us as well, see? Where's the comfort in that? And the answer to that question is twofold. One, no, death has not won. And yes, there is real comfort. See, we are not hopeless. We are not comfortless. The effects of death are not eternal. And Bill is just not where he used to be, but he lives forever. See, there is comfort. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we can read a few verses about that, and I'll just pick a few at the end of the chapter. When this perishable will have put on the imperishable, and this mortal will put on immortality, then will come about the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Death that brought us here is swallowed up in victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And if death's power and if death's conquering is shown by killing, then the Lord's victory is shown by making alive and by living. And that death is swallowed up in that victory. And our comfort is not denying the hurt that we feel. It's not denying that something, you know, and what, it's not in unknowing and just a sense of loss, and we try to get over that. That's not our comfort. Our comfort is knowing that there's a day coming. The Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. That's our comfort. That's the comfort that will take us and will last. Bill is gone. He is not where he used to be. But now and forevermore, he's where he should be, where he really is, with the Lord. And our comfort is that day is coming when we will be reunited and be with the Lord. A long time ago, the Lord stood at a grave with a grieving family. And the family was kind of remonstrating with the Lord and maybe just poking him a little bit and saying, Lord, essentially, where were you when we needed you at this time? If you had been here, our husband, brother, father, friend would not have died. If you had been here, he would not have died. And the Lord never answered that question exactly, but he said, do you remember what I'm saying to you? Do you remember what I told you? I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever lives, whosoever believes in me and lives, will never die. See? He said to that grieving family, life is in me. Even at a grave, even at a tomb with a dead person inside of it, life is in me. And then he closed that those verses with, do you believe this to that grieving family? Do you really believe that life is in Jesus Christ? And that's what we need to consider today. Not the death that brought us together, although that's the end, if you will, of life, something. But the life that's in Jesus Christ. And we need to ask ourselves, if that's where my comfort lies, do I really believe that? See, is that my faith as well? See, Bill's testimony was solid and it was consistent, and he did all sorts of crazy things. But the one thing, well, not the only one thing, but one thing that he took very, very seriously and never joked about was his life in Jesus Christ. When he placed faith in Christ as his Savior, he began to live, and he never joked about that. He was always serious about his relationship with the Lord. And you didn't want to hear Bill sing. But there's a song, just a phrase out of a song that we would sing here, especially around Easter time. And I just want to read a few of the lines from it. It fits Bill, and maybe now he has a little more musical ability than he had. Maybe he could sing it. Jesus lives, and death is now but my entrance into glory. Courage then, my soul, for thou hast a crown of life before thee. And that's what Bill looks forward to because of his faith in Jesus Christ. And the Lord says, we who believe have that same comfort. Courage then, my soul. Comfort my soul. Comfort each other with the words that we have that life too by faith in Jesus Christ. And today is not the end of anything eternal. It's a tough day for life here, but it doesn't affect eternity. And Bill is no longer here. He's not where he used to be, but he's living. He has that life. And on his behalf, and in the place of the Lord, maybe I would just echo those words. Bill would say to his friends and to his family, and the Lord said to Lazarus's family and to Lazarus's friends, do you believe this? And that's where our comfort lies. And Bill would want you to be comfortable today. Bill would want you to believe that today. And perhaps even as we talk to each other after the service, there are some that can comfort one another with these words because we have that same faith that Bill did. And there may be just a few that have to say, that is not where my faith is. And I would say with the Lord, do you believe that? Because that's why we're here. Life out of death by faith in Jesus Christ. And Bill would want that for you. Bill would want you too to be comforted today. Let's pray. Our Father, you have said that you are the God of all comfort. And that comfort can come in physical ways and can come in temporal ways as the family encourages one another even in this very difficult time. But we thank you that there is ultimate eternal comfort by faith in Jesus Christ. We thank you for Bill's faith, his testimony. And we would pray for each one here that they might have that comfort. Again, Father, thank you for the privilege, the blessing of having Bill with us for so many years. Thank you for his ongoing ministry, the effect in so many lives that are here. But may we always remember that we are really thankful for the life that he had in Christ, the life that can be ours. And bless us with that today, we pray in your name. Amen. Bill's life was one of the grace of God, and it's appropriate that we end the service by having sung for us by a friend of the family, Justin Stewart, Amazing Grace. Family will be in 20 minutes or so going back to the fellowship hall for a lunch for them. You can maybe in the intervening time take some time and give your greetings to the family if that's your desire. But we do thank you for coming and trust that you have that comfort that the Lord offers. You are dismissed.